Deuteronomy today, and not the well-known parts of Deuteronomy, some of the hidden away parts in the middle, and I'll explain the context a little bit when we get into it. Jonathan, who will be working really hard this afternoon, is going to come and read to us from Deuteronomy chapter 16. If you want a copy of the Bible, that might help you to follow along. Keith can bring one to anybody who needs one.
Verses 1-17, which is on page 194 of the Red Church Bibles. Chapter 16 of Deuteronomy. Okay. Observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Aviv he brought you out of Egypt by night. Sacrifice as the Passover to the Lord your God an animal from your flock or herd at the place the Lord will choose as a dwelling for his name. Do not eat it with bread made with yeast, but for 7 days eat unleavened bread, the bread of affliction, because you left Egypt in haste, so that all the days of your life you may remember the time of your departure from Egypt. Let no yeast be found in your possession in all your land for 7 days. Do not let any of the meat you sacrifice on the evening of the first day remain until morning. You must not sacrifice the Passover in any town the Lord your God gives you, except in the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. There you must sacrifice the Passover in the evening, when the sun goes down, on the anniversary of your departure from Egypt. Roast it and eat it at the place the Lord your God will choose. Then in the morning return to your tents. For 6 days eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day hold an assembly to the Lord your God, and do no work. Count 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the standing corn. Then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessings the Lord your God has given you. And rejoice because the Lord your God, and rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling for his name. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in your towns, and the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows living among you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and follow carefully these decrees. Celebrate the festival of tabernacles for 7 days after you have gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your winepress. Be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, and the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, and the widows who live in your towns. For 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest, and in all the works of your hands, and your joy will be complete. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose: at the festival of unleavened bread, the festival of weeks, and the festival of tabernacles. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you.
Thanks, Jonathan. We might have noticed that it is half term coming up. Now, I guess if you're at school or you're a teacher, there's a sense, hey, great, it's half term. Some of you are at the stage of trying to remember what a half term was and the kind of days you used to benefit from them. But rooted within the rhythm of life is this concept of holidays. Particularly, I guess, three, you know, Christmas, Easter, summer holidays. Actually, even when I was outside education, life still revolved around those kind of building blocks: Christmas holiday, Easter holiday, summer holiday. Which, interestingly, is the way in which the Jewish calendar is also instituted. We're in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is the situation where God's people, they've been rescued. They were slaves in Egypt. They've been rescued. They're in the wilderness. They're on the edge of the promised land. And Moses is telling them, this is how you're to conduct yourself when you get there. And last time we looked at the kind of big picture, We looked at great things like loving and obeying God when they get in there. What we're looking at this term in these afternoon sessions is just some of the detail. Some of the detail as to how life was organized. And already we've thought about worship, and last week we thought about our attitude towards those who are poor. This week we're going to look at two issues. We're going to look at the theme of holidays and festivals, and we're going to look at the theme of leadership. Holidays and festivals and leadership. And you might say to me, Andy, it sounds like you've just brought together two different issues because you're running out of weeks for your series. And if you think that, you would be right. That's exactly what I'm doing. But as we'll see, there are various ways in which some threads are pulled together. So let's think about holidays first. And if you're in the middle of a sort of long run of work, sorry for bringing this to you. But festivals actually become a really major theme in the Old Testament law. And you find it in the other books, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. In there, you get five festivals. You also have the Day of Atonement, when God's people particularly thought about how their sin was paid for. And you have the Feast of Trumpets, which, I don't know, sounds quite noisy. But in this section, there are the three festivals that really are the core of the Jewish calendar. You have the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, or Passover. You have the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. And my hope as we look at this is that it will give us an idea as to how to use holidays well. Let me talk about them. Passover was basically about remembering the way that God had rescued them from Egypt. Observe the month of Aviv and celebrate the Passover of the Lord your God, because in the month of Aviv, he brought you out of Egypt by night. And what happened was God was judging the Egyptians. The Egyptians were a group of people, and they treated God's people appallingly. And God's judgment was falling on them. The oldest son of each family was to be put to death. And the Israelites were rescued by painting the blood of a lamb over their doorposts. Now, speaking as the oldest son in a family, I always imagine what it must have been like, sort of 3 o'clock, Dad, have you done the blood yet? 4 o'clock, come on, Dad, please sort the blood out. 6 o'clock, Dad, get out there and put the blood up. Because the blood of this lamb was the way in which God's people were rescued. And after this judgment falls, the Egyptians say, you can go now. And actually, they have to leave in a hurry, so they don't put any yeast in their bread. And year after year, they were to remember this, to look back at the way in which God had rescued them. And then 7 weeks later, this Festival of Weeks, and this was basically harvest part one. They were to bring the sort of early offerings in, some of the corn that had been brought in. And that was the second festival. And then the third festival, well, that's the Feast of Tabernacles. And it was essentially the conclusion of the harvest. Celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles for 7 days after you've gathered the produce of your threshing floor and your wine press. And so Passover, remembering the way they were rescued from Egypt. Weeks, which is kind of early harvest, the first fruits have come in. Tabernacles, when the whole harvest has arrived. And in verses 16 and 17, you get the kind of summary. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the Festival of Unleavened Bread, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. And the various kind of threads that pull this all together, it was always to happen at the place that God chose. So it was always to happen in the place that became at Jerusalem. So 3 times a year, they all troop towards Jerusalem to celebrate these festivals. And it's also worth noticing that they're inclusive festivals. That's emphasized particularly with Weeks and Tabernacles, where, again, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites in the town, the foreigners, the fatherless and the widows living among you. And that triumvirate of orphans, widows, foreigners, they were the people in most need. And again, they're definitely to be included. Nobody's to be left out of this great celebration. And so these holidays, go to Jerusalem, bring everybody with you, including the most needy. But the two main things I want us to notice, remembering and rejoicing. Because remembering is a key reason why these festivals take place. You see it in verse 3. Remember the time of your departure from Egypt. So there again in verse 12. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and follow carefully these decrees. One of the great dangers for the Israelites was they get into the promised land and life will be great. You know, lots of things to enjoy, lots of prosperity to enjoy, lots of work to do. And the great danger in Deuteronomy is that in the midst of all these great things to enjoy is that they're just going to forget God. God's going to be driven out of the picture. Because, hey, we've got so much stuff to enjoy. We've got so much to do. And so they're called to remember. Now, you can imagine that being useful, can't you? You know, they're marching up to Jerusalem. And, you know, youngest kid is asking, Mum, Dad, why are we going to Jerusalem again? And the dad says, or the mum says, well, it's to help us to remember God, to remember the way in which he rescued us, and to remember his provision. You know, the rhythm of holidays, festivals, was designed to help them to remember God and not to forget. But it wasn't supposed to simply be a sort of grim duty. No, these festivals were also occasions for great joy. See that particularly with weeks and tabernacles. Verse 11, rejoice before the Lord your God at the place he will choose as a dwelling. Verse 14, be joyful at your festival. Verse 15, the promise is your joy will be complete. And so these festivals were basically designed to alleviate two problems. First, say, is this problem of forgetfulness. But it's also intended to alleviate the problem of boredom and tedium. You know, just the rhythm of harvest again and again and again and again. These were to be occasions where they got away and they rejoiced. They were to celebrate. They were to be happy occasions. Twice in the Feast of Tabernacles, be joyful. Your joy will be complete. Now, as I say, the threefold sort of holiday thing is just quite interesting. It's funny, isn't it, how many sort of societies have followed that up. You know, kind of rhythm of kind of three holidays a year. But what Deuteronomy is telling us is actually if we want to make the most of those times, they're useful to it's useful to regard those times as times to remember the Lord and times to rejoice in the Lord. Times to remember the Lord and times to rejoice in the Lord. And particularly to remember two things, to remember God has rescued us, and to remember, and this was harvest, God has provided for us. Everything that we have is a gift from the Creator who's given it to us for our enjoyment. Now, I wonder what's going on in your mind. Because I think for some people there can be a sort of disconnect between joy and God. So you kind of think, going away on holiday. I want to relax on holiday. I want to be refreshed on holiday. Frankly, the last thing I want when I'm going away on holiday is to be told I have to remember God. That just feels like work to do. That's something else to do. That's a responsibility to carry. You see the logic here? The logic is this. If you remember God, that helps you to rejoice. Remembering God is the key to joy. I'm going to say, by the way, if actually what's going on in your mind is God and joy are miles apart, God is the realm of duty, not the realm of joy, that's probably because subtly you've got the wrong God in your head. God is committed to our joy. Do you notice he actually tells them, be joyful. I want this to be a good time. I want you to be able to celebrate. This is not humdrum religious duty. Be joyful, rejoice. Because actually, as you remember all that I've done for you, that will stir up joy. I'm an idiot at times, so I probably need to tell you that, actually. But actually, I'm an idiot when I do swallow this sort of idea that actually the way I rejoice and the way I relax is by getting away from God. The way to be refreshed, the way to rejoice, is to go towards God. Because he's not a spoil sport. Because he's a God who institutes as part of the Jewish calendar occasions for remembering and rejoicing. It's a good gift, isn't it? He wants them to rejoice. And if we're Christians, we've got even more reason. Because go back to those three festivals, Passover, weeks, and tabernacles. And all three of those festivals are picked up in the New Testament, and they're picked up in the Gospels. Passover first, that's mentioned in Deuteronomy 16. The Lord Jesus, week of his death, night before he dies, he has a meal with his friends, with his disciples, and it's the Passover meal. Jesus dies at Passover. And there's a bit in John's Gospel where, do you remember, Jesus dies on the cross, and normally to speed up the execution, people's bones were broken. The guards broke the people who were dying, broke their legs just to speed up the death process. They didn't do it to Jesus because he was already dead. And John says that picks up an Old Testament image. Not one of his bones will be broken. And the description comes from the Old Testament, and it describes the Passover lamb. Each year they would take this Passover lamb to remember the way in which the lamb's blood had been shed and the people had been rescued. And John, in saying what happened to Jesus was what happened to the Passover lamb, none of the bones are broken, is just to make the point. Jesus is the Passover lamb. Do you remember the function of the lamb? God's judgment is falling. God's judgment on the Egyptians' cruelty towards people, God's judgment on the Egyptians' rejection of him. And the only thing that keeps people safe is the blood of a lamb standing over them. That's the only thing that keeps them safe from God's judgment. One day, each one of us is going to stand before God. Each one of us in this room will one day stand before him. We'll give an account for our lives. And the only thing that will keep you safe on that day is if above you is a Passover lamb's blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus, the one who paid for our sins. It's the only way we're kept safe. And so actually, as you think about Passover, what you end up thinking of, wow, Jesus died for me to save me from the judgment actually I deserve for the way in which I ignore God and enjoy God's things but don't really thank him for them. Actually, Jesus is the one who keeps me safe. And so as I remember, as I think about Passover, I remember Jesus died for me to keep me safe. And then the Festival of Weeks. Now, you might, if you know the Bible well, thinking, why on earth has the Festival of Weeks come up in the New Testament? Well, it helps at this point if you know a little bit of Greek. The Greek for 50 days, because there's 50 days between Pentecost and the Festival of Weeks, Greek for 50 days is Pentecost, is the Greek for 50 days. And so actually Pentecost is the Festival of Weeks. So you wonder, what happens at Pentecost is you've got all these people, and again, they've all come to Jerusalem from all around the world to worship God. And it's at the Festival of Weeks that the Holy Spirit comes down and God comes to live within people's hearts and comes near and enables us to speak for him. What's happening at the Festival of Weeks in the New Testament is the risen Jesus is pouring out his Spirit to come to live within our hearts. The Feast of Tabernacles. Well, one of the ways in which the tabernacles was celebrated, it was a harvest festival. And one of the ways in which they celebrated it was they got this great big water jar. And this great big water jar, which spoke of the kind of rain that had watered the harvest, was carried all the way through Jerusalem. And as that's happening, Jesus says in a loud voice, "Look at this water. If anyone's thirsty, let them come to me and drink." And of course, he's not speaking there about physical thirst primarily. He's saying, if you've got a longing for meaning inside, if you've got a longing for God who created you, if life is dry without knowing your maker, come to me. Where do you go when life feels dry? come to me. Come to me and drink. And it's just one of the places in the Gospels where Jesus takes a physical image and points to a deeper spiritual reality. After performing a miracle featuring bread and fish, he says, I'm the bread of life. One who comes to me will never go hungry. And I say at Tabernacles, it's where he says, if anyone's thirsty, let that person come to me and drink. And so do you begin to see what's going on? What's going on is that these festivals just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And actually, our reasons for rejoicing and remembering get bigger and bigger and bigger. Can I say, here's the way you can really learn to rest. Because if you can think to yourself, I'm okay. I don't have to fear dying and facing God's judgment because Jesus is my Passover lamb. Well, that enables you actually, if we can put it like this, to have a really good holiday. Because actually you know, even if the worst happens, I'm safe. I have my Passover lamb. Actually knowing that Jesus is the one who satisfies our thirst by giving us the Spirit, I tell you, that's a way to have a really good holiday. To actually know I have deep life on the inside. I have God living within me. I have an answer to the spiritual thirst that so often we try and quench by going to place other than our Creator. And Jesus says, come to me, and I will give it to you. Remembering and rejoicing. And Deuteronomy is saying, actually, the best way to enjoy your life is to come to me, is to meet God. And for us, if we're Christians, for us living in the New Testament era, there's even more reasons to remember and to rejoice. Well, we're going to look at the second part in a moment or two. I'm going to give us a couple of minutes. Don't turn just in twos or threes. No need to do a big chair move because I'm literally going to give you 2 or 3 minutes. Anything strike you from that? If nothing struck you, I don't know, talk about your plans for the week. But if anything did strike you, feel free to share that with anybody new. Then we're going to sing mainly to stretch our legs. We're singing mainly to praise the Lord. But that will also help to stretch our legs. And then we're going to get into part two. So 2 or 3 minutes before we sing. Anything strike you as to how we could have better holidays?